This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR. Now can you dig that, sucker?
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Stokes. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows, that I am the most powerful force, both the ring, nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WWE just pushed us over the limit, and we are here once again to talk about the pay-per-view live as soon as it is over. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, and once again, we are missing members right off the bat. We're trying to get Will on, who's having a few Skype issues, and we're trying to get a hold of Spug, who'd rather go watch a guy prance around in an iron suit than actually join us tonight.
One runny diggy. Two runny diggies. Three runny diggies. Hello, is this Spug? This is the phone company. You owe money. Or we will cut off your phone. Why?
I'm gonna watch a guy in an iron suit. What the heck are we talking about? Is he watching Medieval Times or something?
Can everyone wait their turns and I'll introduce you in turn?
Yes, sir.
Well, apparently we have just been joined by Spug.
Yes.
Thank you. Mace?
Go fuck yourselves.
Spug's in a chipper mood tonight, isn't he?
Isn't he always? We also have with us Alan Wojcik.
Good evening. That was, damn, paper cut. Hold on, I gotta come back.
And as always, leading this little merry band, the one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're all really, really glad that you could join us right here for Over the Limit After Hours, the post-pay-per-view presentation of Wrestling Talk right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I hear an echo.
I'm getting an echo.
You're not getting an echo, but I hear an echo.
I don't know why.
Because my other laptop is turned up too fucking loud for crying out loud. Hey, well, I tell you, over the limit. I don't think so.
I'd rather go over the edge.
Ooh.
Yeah, I went there, bitches.
Oh, don't go there, man, because next thing you know, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to wind up having to go to Australia, get in your house.
I don't know what the fuck is up with Skype.
What's wrong with Skype tonight, Spug? Is it giving you a bad time?
I may have to kick it repeatedly.
Oh, God, that's speeded.
That sounds very painful. Where the hell were you tonight? Were you actually watching Iron Man 2?
I wanted to. No, I was closing.
Oh, closing Iron Man 2.
No, I was working. I had to fucking work. And I thought I was going to get off at like 7:30. No, I had to fucking close. It was awesome.
Wait a second. Does your wife know about this? You fucking out.
What? You cut out.
You just said you had to fuck at work. Does your wife know about this?
No, I said I had to fucking work. Fucking work. Not in the mood tonight, Tim.
Okay, then I won't go to the, you know, the obvious porn reference, fucking for a job. I had to.
Yeah, we're all in such a joyous mood here. Why not talk the wrestling thing, Tim?
Well,
at least I missed out on that shit fest. I read the results.
Well, you know, it didn't start out as a shit fest. It started out as a good pay-per-view. However, I'm sick and tired of okay, I can understand them stopping Raw or stopping SmackDown, but not the bloody pay-per-views. Oh, we're PG, we're for the kids, blah, 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 blah. I don't give a fuck. I'm paying $40 goddamn dollars to watch what's going on. Don't stop the match in the middle just so you can have some guy with latex gloves come running into the ring to wipe off CM Punk's face because he's bleeding.
Tim, question for you.
Yeah.
Would you say that WWE / WWF in the 80s, in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, was PG?
Oh, hell no.
For the time period.
Okay, it was more accepted what they were doing back then for that time period.
For that time period, would you say that that was PG?
Okay, you're wanting me to say yes, so I'll say sure.
Wait, no, I mean PG to PG-13, yes or no?
Well, nah. Okay, let's go with that. Sure, why not?
Okay. And who colored all the damn time? Every time you turned around, the dude was bleeding all over the place.
Well, shit. You know, at that point in time, who wasn't, really, when you stop and think about it?
I think he's talking about a certain bald spot.
You know, it was like Hulk Hogan was bleeding all the time. Still
is. Still is. But every time you turned around, Hogan was bleeding everywhere. Got color every match he was in. And for the late 80s to early 90s, what the WWE was doing, I would say, was pretty PG for that time period.
Yeah.
What the WWE's doing now is more of a G rating for this time period. You think of the music, the television, and all of that that's going on. That's not PG. That's G. That's a G rating they're going for. They're trying to market it toddlers, dude.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know.
Quit pulling the wool over our eyes and let them fucking bleed on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, you stop and think about it. I mean, 10-year-old kids today watch movies where people are losing limbs and stuff like that to a certain graphic extent. Back in the 90s, no, you weren't gonna have somebody walking into a Freddy Krueger movie. Nowadays, the Freddy Krueger movies, you know, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, are kind of, you know, yeah, whatever. Nice joke. I mean, Chucky. Look at Chucky. When was the last time Chucky was scary?
When you had a My Buddy doll sitting in your closet?
You know, and, yeah, and, you know, it was 1987?
I don't know. Those movies still freaked me out.
Chucky stopped being scary in 1989, dude.
Well, the newer Chucky ones aren't freaky. The original Chucky is scary as fuck still.
You know, perfect example, Terminator Salvation is on the movie channel right now, and you see this guy that was altered back in the, you know, last part of the 20th century before the Holocaust, turned into the first cyborg, and he's got half his face missing with blood pouring out and everything, and that movie is PG.
That's
exactly, which means it's cut to shit,
you know.
No, on the movie channel, they're not censored.
Yeah, no, they're not censored on the movie channel here. What I'm saying is this movie came out as PG.
13.
Well, still.
Curious. It's either PG or it's PG-13.
Seriously, what's the difference other than semantics? PG or PG-13?
Because PG is. PG is more of a. The 6-year-old could watch it, maybe. PG-13 is, if you're under 13, maybe not. It's just a rating system. That number is important, though. When it comes down to it, that number is important. Because
again,
In today's day and age, if WWE is going for a PG rating, remember, all their stuff before used to be TV-14.
Yeah, it's still semantics. I mean, I'm not going to take my son at the age of six to see the movie that I'm going to take him to see today. You know what I mean?
Well, right. You're not going to take your kid to go see the remake of Halloween, but you might take him to go see Shrek. There's a difference. I get it. I know. But the thing is that they just need to quit. They need to quit with the whole PG, PG-13, we're marketing to children bullshit, and just give us our goddamn pay-per-views the way we want them.
Like, they said, you know, it's scripted, sure, but it's still violence. It's not real okay, but it's still fighting. What happens when you have violence and fighting? Somebody gotta bleed.
Yeah, it's complete. Yeah, when WWE is pushing for this more realistic product with no colorful gimmicky characters, no fake names or anything like that. But then they make you think, oh, well, a guy can get thrown through a wooden metal announcer's table without having a slightest mark on him. Okay, yeah.
Or a bone broken.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a total double standard where they make you believe, okay, well, we're going more realistic, but it's also completely unrealistic to think that nobody is going to bleed or get injured from this.
Alan, ask that question out loud that you just typed out.
Yeah, but don't they stop MMA bouts and World Heavyweight Boxing Championships for blood, or at least stop it so, okay, go to your corner, get cleaned up, and then ding, ding, let's go again. I'm honest. I've never really watched an MMA bout. Do they stop MMA bouts so a guy can go to the corner and get looked at?
Yes, they do.
Well, hang on a second. It depends on the degree of the bleeding. If it's, you know, okay, well, you got to cut, whatever. If you've got your face ripped open and your eyes hanging half out, yeah, they're going to stop it and send you to the corner.
Usually, okay. Almost all cuts above or below the eye, they stop the bout.
They're not going to stop the bout if your nose is bleeding. They're not going to stop the bout if you're bleeding out your mouth.
Most cuts around the eye area, they will stop them out. They will stop the bout for. But broken and bloody noses, bloody lips, they're not going to stop.
Okay, just so I have a clarification on that. I've seen, I can count on my one hand how many MMA fights I've seen, and the only one I just get seen was, like you guys just said, the guy was obliterated in the face, so it was like, you better stop it if you want him to remember his kid's name.
But here's the caveat to that, Alan. The precedent for wrestling matches has been set for decades upon decades, that wrestlers will wrestle through blood and broken bones. So the precedent is there. Comparing it to an MMA or a boxing bout is a bit of an asinine statement, simply because the precedent is there. Flair, Hogan, all of them. You've seen them bleed in matches and keep on going.
I just wanted to bring up the question, because I'm sure there's some listeners that may be asking that too.
Oh no, it's a valid question, definitely a valid question. However, no. You know, how many of us have been subjected when we were 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, even getting into wrestling on TV? And watching the matches and seeing guys get cut open either the hard way or because they're juicing and blading when the camera's off them, and we still see it. Compared to today where they, oh shit, we gotta stop the Extreme Rules match because somebody actually broke their fingernail to the point where it got pulled back and there's a little bit of blood.
What gets me... Didn't we have this conversation back in the fall when there was a pay-per-view with a Christian match and they stopped the match because Christian bled?
We had this conversation for Extreme Rules because they stopped the match.
No, it wasn't in Extreme Rules. It was before that. It was way before that.
Yes, but I'm just saying the most recent time we talked about it. Go ahead, Omega.
Yeah, we talked about it when it happened on an episode of Raw, I think. But today, we're talking about it now because on the pay-per-view, it was taken to absolute extreme limits as far as just logic. I know we're supposed to like cover the pay-per-view in order. I'm going to go ahead and mention this. So Spug is on the same page. Rey Mysterio gets thrown into a barber's chair head first by Punk from the ring outside into the chair laid out. It looks like a horrific spot. He could have easily gotten injured. Meanwhile, you know, the ref might go over there and pats him on the shoulder, but not too bad, just checking him out. Meanwhile, you go back to the ring, Punk's got a cut on the top of his head. The ref runs back into the ring, pats it down with a towel, the trainer comes rushing in, starts covering it up, starts trying to mend it. So a guy got speared through this barber's chair. Don't even pay attention to him. The guy who gets his little cut, everyone stop the match, go over, fix him up.
Well, here's the thing, Omega, and we talked about this after that Raw where it was a pay-per-view where Christian, they stopped the pay-per-view. And I wish they would do it now. If you're going to stop it for a little bit of blood, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to go this route, get rid of gimmick matches. Get rid of the steel cage. Get rid of the Hell in a Cell. Get rid of the Elimination Chamber. Texas Bull Rope matches. Bunkhouse Brawls. War Games. All of them. Get them out the window. Don't ever advertise for one. Don't ever book one. None of that. We're going to have two guys or a tag team in the ring, and they're just going to technical wrestle, and that's it. That's all they're going to do. No high-flying moves. They're not even going to get on the bottom turnbuckle. They're not going to touch the ropes. Now, because that's what you're turning this into.
Now, before we get moving here, I just want to make a little preemptive right now. Any internet radio podcast hosts, anybody with their own wrestling show that's going to be doing one like tomorrow or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or whenever, before you guys go attacking us for our views, pay attention to us saying this, okay? We are about to present you with our opinions, not gospel. There's a big, huge fucking difference. And I got to put that out there because I'm getting sick and tired of all of these other people taking pot shots at everybody else. Oh, man, they just said pay-per-view is absolutely great because they suck each other's dick. Or they just hate the pay-per-view because they hate sucking WWE's dick and they'd rather suck TNA's dick or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we're all allowed to have opinions. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody got one, and some smell worse than others. Now, we're going to open up the phone lines and let you call in and give us your opinion as soon as we get into it. So don't worry about it. Relax.
Hey Tim.
Hey, Tom, take it easy and just enjoy the show. What is it, Spug?
Let me just throw this out there. I didn't watch the pay-per-view tonight, not because I'm too lazy to watch the product that we talk about, but because I had to fucking work.
Okay.
So you didn't boycott the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I'm not going to take any pot shots at you for that one, Spug. Don't worry, no worries. So why don't we take a look at the pay-per-view? And as a matter of fact, I believe, Mace, you took some notes on all the action as it happened. If you want to call up some of those notes and pass them on to us, we'll take a look at what's going on.
Yeah, well, get those. Oh, fuck. Fucking. Tim, can you take over for a second? Got a freaking paper cut.
Oh, man.
Damn. All right, well, okay, see, now, here's the thing. It's going to happen. You're going to get hurt in life, and you're going to have to learn to live with it and deal with it. Things like this happen, and all you can do is move on. But if your owie is really big, you got to get some attention for it. So, like, if you're bleeding severely, Mace, maybe we should arrange some transportation to the local clinic for you to get staples or stitches or something. Now, hopefully, it's not a whole lot of blood loss, and if it is bleeding somewhat profusely, but not too badly, if you wrap a tourniquet around where the cut is, it should help.
Yeah, I don't think a Band-Aid's going to fix this one, man. I'm going to have to go and get some stitches. I'll be back.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you when you get back. Okay, I've got... Yeah, okay, just before he left, he sent me notes on the pay-per-view. So at least we can talk about the pay-per-view while we're waiting for Mace to come back. First match of the night, guys, in the Continental Championship, Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre. And this was a good match, I think, despite the fact Drew McIntyre was in it.
I called it!
Okay. You called it.
I called Kofi winning last week.
Uh-huh. Did you?
Really?
Who else called Kofi winning? Because Kofi won, by the way.
I think I called Kofi winning.
I don't even... Did anyone even write down our predictions?
Yeah, because they used the same picks on another radio show, which I'm not allowed to talk about.
We'll get to you in a little bit concerning that, Mr. Alan Wojewicz Kuzkiewicz.
Oh, I did take Drew? Damn. I'm sorry.
I took... Crap.
Yeah, okay, everybody, just so you know what's going on here, we just got reminded who we picked this one. Omega took McIntyre's Spug, and yours truly took Kofi Kingston. Will Mason Allen joined Omega in taking McIntyre.
But let's wait until SmackDown. I mean, this is Drew McIntyre. For all we know, he can still be declared the winner.
Well, yeah, but if you paid attention to the pay-per-view at all, you saw him going after Teddy Long, and Teddy's like, can't do it, player. Can't do it, player. Don't you touch Martin Luther King. Can't do it, player.
But it it takes Drew a week to get in touch with McMahon, though.
Okay, well, things can change in a week, so.
Tim?
Yeah. Oh,
Tim,
you're back.
Why the hell are you still going on with the show, man? Please stop the show.
But you said you were going to the hospital to get stitches, Mace.
Well, I'm lucky there's a couple of nurses nearby.
Oh, okay.
You should have stopped the show till I got back. Jeez, man, don't you know anything about radio?
Yeah, but, you know, the show must go on, Mace. I thought you knew that.
Look, don't worry. I'll be back next week with a note from my mother about this shit.
Okay, what were your impressions of this match, the Intercontinental Championship match, Mace?
Honestly, it was actually a good match. That little finishing move that Kofi uses is very spectacular, and surprised that nobody has actually been broken from the neck for doing that bloody move.
He must be able to do it really well then. So you liked it and you thought it was pretty good?
It was a good start to the pay-per-view.
Okay. Just for the hell of it, give the match a rating.
What are we doing, out of 10 or letter grade or what?
Let's all do letter grades.
Definitely give that probably C+.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're giving it that low. Okay. Omega, your impressions of the match and your letter grade?
For an opener, it was pretty good. I mean, it seems like the IC title is the official belt to start the pay-per-view with these days. And, you know, I thought Kofi did a fantastic job making Drew look interesting in the ring for, you know, a good 10 minutes there. Decent match to start the show. Probably about a B- from me.
And it's okay. So it's moving up a little bit in the world. Spug, we can't talk to you because you're busy working. So moving on to our guest fill-in for Will, who can't be on the show because he can't keep a telephone line open. Mr. Alan Wojcicki.
It did what a pay-per-view opener is supposed to do. It was a car race to get the show going, so to speak, which I couldn't stop laughing when I saw those cars. I was like, what is this? Are they channeling WrestleMania when it was there?
No, it's Super City, dude. Come on.
I understand that, but that's what it felt like. I later on in the show, I expected Cena to come racing in on a car like he did that WrestleMania. It did a good job, and like we all, I mentioned it during the thing. It was just like at the end of the match, I'm going, he's going into the Jericho Cruiserweight Championship book from the 90s, going, wait. I did, you know, rule number 2040.0, underhook, double cut, whatever. I got to give it a B- also. I was very surprised. I said, I only picked Drew McIntyre because I thought he was going to figure out a way to screw Kofi out of the belt, but as everybody said, we'll see what happens at the TV tape.
Yeah, there you go. Never mind all of the backstage nonsense and noise about Drew McIntyre getting heat in the locker room and all the major names saying they don't want to work with him, this, that, and the other thing, attitude problems, whatever. It was time for McIntyre, or as some people call him, McSnore, to drop the belt. So, apparently that's what happened, and I don't have a problem with that, and I don't really don't have a problem seeing Kofi Kingston getting a little push. Hopefully that will translate it into something other than the IC belt not being defended, at least semi-regularly, and seeing more semi-retirement from it. The match itself was fairly entertaining. Love the finish. You gotta love Kofi Kingston's work. I gotta give it a B+, which gives the overall rating for it, I guess, a B-.
Yeah, I'd say something like that.
Yeah, about
that. I'm not gonna sit here and work out the fucking math for you.
Yeah. I remember, according to certain people, Kofi's not over.
Which has nothing to do with the fact that he's black in the United States at all whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah, but what did you think about Matt Hardy coming out and kicking ass?
That was just what the heck.
It made no sense, but then again, it's a WWE pay-per-view, so it makes perfect sense.
Well, at the least, they've been having a feud of some kind. Well, I say feud. Drew's just been coming out and beating the shit out of Matt Hardy.
But didn't he do that with Killings before? Oh, sorry, R-Truth. I know I can't call him Killings. Wasn't that how McIntyre got introduced? He was just coming out randomly beating down R-Truth.
I have totally forgotten what Drew McIntyre has done in the last few months.
That's because nobody watches SmackDown. It's the B show.
Well, that's it's right. Because I'm usually fighting the urge to sleep when he comes on screen.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So, next match, R-Truth. R-Truth takes on...
He may have lost one for all we know in that match.
Yeah, he takes
the
on...
The new dentist gimmick.
Yeah, R-Truth takes on Ted DiBiase Jr. with the real Virgil. The original Virgil!
Feels so bad for the guys. You know, WWE finally calls him back after 20 years and just goes, oh, we want to have the you...
What the hell was that? Omega? Well, anyway, enjoyed the match. It was kind of fun watching Virgil come back, even though, you know, like, he'll be able to live off the, I don't know, royalties for another 5 years without getting a job.
He finally has enough money to be poor.
Yeah, very good, Mace. Very good. Enough John. Money for it. So, yeah, Mace, well, talk about the match and give it a letter grade.
This pretty much started off a trend for the night where
guys,
not only do the faces win, but it just...
Still there?
I have no idea. God. Something about the match.
Should I be able to taste my skull?
Omega? What are you talking about? We're talking about Art versus DiBiase Jr., man.
God. Yeah, good on you, Omega. You derailed my train of thought. Anyway, match was good. Probably another C+ from me.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed the match. I got to give it a B-. You know, some solid work in the ring. Nothing overly spectacular. How do you win a match with a spinning elbow as your finisher, though? That's the only thing that...
Guys, I can't feel my feet.
Well,
unless you're the great Muda, and even Muda doesn't finish with the power drive elbow anymore.
Yeah, well, Omega, just sit on your ass. You don't need to be standing up anyway. So, yeah, I give it a B-. Alan, your overall thoughts of this particular match and letter grade?
I will go along with the B- as well. It kept the momentum of the pay-per-view going, and I like the chemistry of the two of them in the ring. I'd like to see at least another pay-per-view match out of it, maybe have Virgil screw him over at whatever the next... Is it Fatal 4-Way is the next one? Have him somehow screw him over. But do you put the $1 million championship up in a Fatal 4-Way? I guess that's a technical question for later on when we get schematics and diagrams out.
Yeah, but...
Seriously, I'm not...
Jeez, Omega, he carries on like a friggin' old woman, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't
know. What was the next match?
Yeah, I don't know what he's complaining about, but I was just gonna address the $1 million belt. I don't think Ted DiBiase Sr. ever legitimately put up that belt with anybody ever thinking that he was gonna lose it to another wrestler, and I don't see it happening with Junior.
God.
So Omega,
that's the only way he gets over.
Omega, what'd you think of this match?
Where are we?
We're talking R-Truth.
God, I can't even remember who they are.
Rub some dirt on it.
I don't have any.
Okay, what
find
about
some
that?
Windex in the house. Windex cures everything.
God, guys, seriously. I can't even see straight.
So, yeah, so the next match on the card tonight is Hero versus Pledge. We're talking CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. Punk loses. He gets his head shaved. Rey Mysterio must join the Straight Edge Society if he gets pinned.
Yeah, this match pretty much was a momentum killer, and not only for the match, but the entire pay-per-view, really. Because this was the one where they had to stop for blood, and, you know, when Ray gets thrown into the chair and they ignore the shit out of it.
Someone call 911.
Somewhat.
You're already dead.
Okay. Oh, I got a point there. Hey, listen, if anybody's thirsty, go ahead and crack themselves a cold one. I'm about to open up a nice, ice-cold, tasty beverage here. And, ow! God damn it!
What the hell happened to you now?
Shit. Oh, well, I worked a 12-hour shift yesterday, digging some holes and setting some posts and building a deck and stuff like that. I ripped my hands to shit and just opening up my can of my frosty cold beverage. I reopened a nice big rip on one of my knuckles that I got when I accidentally scraped a house with stucco on it. And goddamn. Talk about the next match, guys. I got to go and get some paper towels, and God, I think this needs a Band-Aid. I'll be right back.
All right, Tim. While Tim's off attending that medical emergency, Alan, what did you think of this match?
God,
I want to send him some like healing vibes, man. Somebody get Omega like can he borrow one of your nurses, man? Get him a nurse.
He needs to suck it up. He's just being a fucking bitchy woman. Go on, let's talk about the match.
My main problem is kind of what Omega had said. Punk got busted the hard way when he, I'm guessing that shot into the padding outside the ring got him, and they stopped him for that. And Punk got, and Ray Ray got lawn darted circa 1996 into that barber chair. And as he said, I'm sitting there going, anybody going to bother to go check on the guy who just took out a barber chair at 30 miles an hour? At least go get him a Tic Tac or something. I said it after WrestleMania. I really liked the chemistry between these two, and I was a little upset that it ended the way it did. I was really hoping Punk would have won and Ray joins the society. They also didn't reveal Jerry Matthews or Alex Riley or whoever the heck is underneath that hood.
Hey, Alan, you want to do us a favor and shut the fuck up for a minute? Tim, yes, are you all right? Tim, are you back yet? Or are you still trying to get that finger fixed?
Yeah, no, I don't have any bandages or anything like that. I've got blood all over the floor. I've got to get that cleaned up. But I do have toilet paper and duct tape.
That's always a good
That'll
way
work.
To go. Crazy glue, isn't that the wrestler thing, Spug and Omega? Mace, isn't that the thing?
Can't hold up my head. Something's wrong.
Omega, would you shut the fuck up, you whiny little bitch?
This show's falling apart due to injuries.
Your neck crackles.
Is one of them tapping out and ending the entire show right now? Is that what's going to happen, Mace?
I reckon they might pass out and then come back out of nowhere after getting hit with a car.
Okay, well, all right. My that ripped open knuckle's all covered up, and we're good to go. The blood flow is stopped. I'll clean up the blood on the floor a little bit later, and we won't worry about it for now.
Seriously?
We'll just continue
on. I can't see.
What the crap was that?
Does somebody want to get Omega some cheese for that wine?
I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with Omega, but he's always, you know, he's just trying to hog the limelight. He's just, I don't know what it is with him.
Send him the girls that are always in Will's background, man. Maybe they'll help him rise to the occasion.
No, no. If he keeps this up, I think that May should use him as a lawn dart and toss him into a chair.
Ooh.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Well, whereabouts were we, guys? The hair versus the pledge. Kind of a wacky finish to this, don't you think?
It sort of made no real sense. You know, Ray going over really doesn't help the overall feud too much. And then having Kane come out of nowhere, a guy who has kidnapped Mysterio for the sole purpose of Mysterio getting new tattoos, came out and helped him. It just made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, isn't this the match that we, or certain members of us here sort of thought Russo might have had a hand in writing?
Yeah, that was one of my comments. I swear to God. People are saying that TNA booking is shit. Take a look at this match, the way it's been booked, and go, if you can say that this is a fucking five-star match, I tell you what, mate, I will fucking pay you money if you can fucking say that. With a straight face and back it up with facts. So,
you know,
Tim, shut up.
TNA booking is shit, Mace. It's the truth. But you gotta give the wrestlers in TNA credit. At least they put their best out there. All right.
Oh, look, I'll say that TNA booking might not be the best on the planet, but at least they actually can make a feud make sense in the end and not have a match look like a 10-ton clusterfuck anymore.
And, yeah,
this match ended as a 10-ton clusterfuck.
And only because you guys pointed it out to me, I had no clue about the whole Kane-Rey Mysterio thing. I just totally blacked it out of my head. I'm just like, wait, what the? Huh? Okay.
you definitely got an absolute point. But, you know, I'll give the match a C+.
It gets a C- from me.
Okay, Alan?
I'll give it a B-. So I really was hoping this was going to go another month or two, but maybe Punk tries to get his revenge at Fatal 4-Way.
And Omega, what do you think about this match?
What do you ask him for? He can't even spell his own name right now.
It was fine, Susan.
Who? What? Anyway, moving on. The next match, Unified Tag Team Championship, the Hart Dynasty, taking on Jericho and Miz. What would you call them? Mizico or Jizz? I don't think I'd want to call him.
Well, who knows? They seem to combine Miz's name with everybody else's name, so why not? Let's call them Jizz from now on.
It's not PG, really, when you think about it.
Oh, like the kids are going to fucking
damn it,
up on
my cat
shit.
Just cut me. Son of a...
Damn God cats. Damn it.
Oh, they got fleas, man, and they're taking it out on me. Like, I'm the one that gave them the damn fleas. Ah.
Get some back, Teen, and put it on the scratch. I'm sure you'll be fine.
I have dirt near me. I'll rub it on. I'm a player.
Don't rub dirt into an open wound. Are you crazy?
Hey, tell that to Peyton Manning, man. Ah, God. It stings. I think I got a nail stuck in here. Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting your show.
That's all right. That's perfectly okay. I mean, you know, listen, I own a cat. I've been scratched a couple times. You know, cat scratches sting. And I don't know about you, but I've never personally suffered from cat scratch fever. All I know is that you don't get them from cats. Nobody?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, nobody. Nobody.
I got distracted by the chat room, to be honest. The
good thing
Tony O's going that it would have made sense for Danielson to come out during this match, cost Miz and Jericho the belts, and then beat the holy hell out of Michael Cole.
I gotta have a patient care technician for a while. Oh yeah, pull it out. I'm gonna mute because I'm gonna yell.
So I guess they're extracting a nail out of Allen's skin wherever he got quad. I'm not sure, Mace.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's just you, me, and Omega now.
Yeah. Omega, how you doing there, buddy?
My head hurts.
Have you got Advil?
I've got duct tape. I'll be fine.
Okay, well, hey, you know, duct tape. Duct tape, you can fix anything with duct tape.
And don't worry, Omega, my head hurts too after watching this pay-per-view.
Not sure that did it, but okay.
Okay, Unified Tag Team Championship, the Hart Dynasty retains. Guys, what can you say about this match other than you had some really, really good work?
Power slam in the shades of the British Bulldog.
Oh, please.
It wasn't a power slam.
My God. It was not a power slam, and it was not in the shades of the British goddamn Bulldog. You know, I enjoy Matt Stryker on commentary when he doesn't talk so much. This, unfortunately, isn't one of those times.
Is he only on there because they need someone from SmackDown to be a part of that thing? Or God, bring the other guy on and let him butcher the pay-per-view instead.
No, he's on there for Michael Cole to make him look really good.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Just while we're on commentary for a second here, guys.
Yeah.
Did we notice that Stryker was cutting off King a shitload tonight?
A little bit more than normal. I did notice that, yeah. And I was kind of surprised that Jerry put up with it for as long as he did, but Jerry did wind up getting a few shots in throughout the pay-per-views.
Yeah, and people were even getting shots in on Michael Cole, too, which is always funny.
Well, yeah, but getting shots on Michael Cole is starting to get a little bit boring because, you know, he can't fight back. In a battle of wits, the guy's unarmed.
Yeah, it's true, especially when he decides to take two matches to fucking complain about it.
Yeah, there you go. What were you saying, Alan?
As we found out Tuesday night, he really is unarmed.
Oh, yeah. That was, if you guys missed NXT, Bryan Danielson beat the crap out of Michael Cole. And
that was beautiful.
Can't say it wasn't deserved. So, yeah, speaking of that, they kind of pretty much killed Daniel Bryan off, didn't they?
Just about.
Never heard of the guy.
Yeah. You watch NXT all the time, Alan. What do you think about this whole thing? They're going to let Bryan Danielson be Bryan Danielson?
Why not? I mean, well, nobody's ever really clarified the ruling on this for me, and I've asked a few people online. Can Danielson, does he have to wait till everybody on NXT is eliminated and go to a Raw or SmackDown, or can he jump there right now? I don't think anybody's ever given me an answer. What do you guys think of that?
You know, I have no idea. I don't get NXT up here, and I really haven't even watched 5 minutes of it online on any stream at all. I just don't have any real interest in watching the replacement for WWE CW. I mean, it may be good, it may not be. I'm not one to judge because, well, again, I never saw it. So, but I think that nobody's allowed to do anything until the whole thing is over with, which will be in time for SmackDown to debut on Sci-Fi and NXT gets canceled.
I got to agree with everybody else. I was surprised that Bryan Danielson, whatever he's being called, didn't come out and interfere in this in any way.
Yeah. Would have
kept the storyline going, but hey, what do you want?
Yeah, true. So, looking at the Unified Tag Team Championship, getting back to the pay-per-view, I'm telling you guys, this was a fantastic match. I was really pleased to see that they're taking some of the reins, some of the leashes off of, well, I have such a hard time calling him Tyson Kidd because
agreed.
because of my personal, you know, my personal acquaintance with TJ Wilson. He's a great kid, and I'll tell you, you have not seen a fraction of what he's able to do in that ring. But he was allowed a little bit more creativity and a little bit more freedom tonight, and it was starting to come through. I think that you all got a mouth-watering taste of just what this guy is capable of doing in that ring. Alan.
I got to see them before they even signed with FCW. They worked for Court Bowers, MLW, as the Stampede Bulldogs, and I remember sitting there watching it with a few people going, God, these guys are frickin' nuts, and then found out their background with the Matt Rat stuff they did with Teddy, and I was very entertained with this match. Just another one. I want to see a continuation. I would love to see another match or two out of this feud.
Yeah.
I got to give it a B. I was very. I kept sitting there going, God, don't take the damn belts off them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was an interesting match because I think the crowd was a little in phased or buzzed over from the Punk Ray Ray match, but I'm very happy with what went on, and I was surprised also no Bret Hart appearance, but maybe Bret was told to be there and he decided, nah, I don't need to be there because she never really called me. I don't know.
Well, Bret is supposed to be at WrestleFest tomorrow night, but we're going to be talking a little bit about that statement. Yeah, Alan, you didn't know that. I dropped a bomb on you, didn't I?
Damn. Unprepared. See? I'm unprofessional, sorry.
It's got nothing to do with being unprepared. You have to remember, I live in Calgary, Dramatic Pause, Alberta, Canada. And practically everybody tuned in right now thinks I'm the biggest Bret Hart mark on the internet, which is not true. And I've got just one name to prove that, Paul Nimmer. I'm not going to say what website he's from. But Omega, yeah, I figured you'd catch on to that. Did you catch on to that, Omega? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, caught that one.
Yeah, so tell me, who's the bigger mark, me or Nimmer?
Definitely Nimmer.
Yeah, he voted most likely to suck Bret's dick in
You're asking a guy with a grade 2 concussion or something like that, man? He doesn't know his own name right now.
Oh, please, he'll get
over it. Look, I am perfectly fine, Jackie. I'm not concussed. But
no, that's it, sweetheart.
Fine.
No. Omega, that's Alan.
What'd you say, Susan?
Yeah, no. That was Alan, and I'm Tim.
He thinks he's Batman right now, dude.
Bullshit, he's MacGyver. He fixed it with duct tape.
Awesome.
He's MacGruber. He doesn't know which wire to cut.
Not MacGruber. I don't want to blow up.
So, there you go. Mace, what did you think of the tag bout?
It was a great tag bout, but I think a lot of that also comes with the fact that they gave the Hart Dynasty Jericho and Miz. They're seriously guys that can pull a great match with the right people. It just goes to show, when you're not trying to overpower a tag team with stupidity and make-believe shit-ass tag teams, that they can put on a great fucking match. But then again, it's Jericho. As it was said during our production chat, he could take a shit in a ring and it'd still look better than most of the things other people do.
Well, I got to take a little bit of issue with you over what you just said, because it's coming across to me like you're saying that Miz and Jericho, specifically Jericho, put over and carried the Hart Dynasty.
No. Don't get me wrong, Tim. These guys are great workers in their own right. And, you know, I've sat there, I've watched many a Stampede clip and everything.
Yeah.
But
this you have.
This is what happens when you put great workers like the Hart Dynasty up against great workers like Jericho and Miz. Maybe not so much Miz, as he's pretty god-awful average.
Well, would you allow me to make the statement that the Hart Dynasty carried Miz?
A quadriplegic donkey could carry Miz. But yes, your point is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't trying to override or overrule anybody or anything like that. It's just so anyway. Yeah, I have to say that this was definitely the best match to this point on this card. I got to give it an A-.
Mace? Solid A here.
All right, Omega.
Yeah, I'd give it an A-.
If Will was able to listen, we could talk to him, but he's kind of sort of not on the show tonight, guys.
It's a shame. He's a good kid.
Yeah, but that's not his fault. He jumped to his internet.
Yeah, it's his friend's internet. He had to leave the house to go to his friend's place, which I don't understand. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, I suppose. Moving on, I guess we might as well wrap this up real quick, go to the next match, and get this over with. The next match, Edge taking on Randy Orton. This is the one that caused a whole bunch of people to say, uh-oh.
Somebody got a boo-boo.
This is a real one this time.
Hell yeah.
This is a real boo-boo. It literally came out of nowhere. Now we're talking about Randy Orton here. I don't know if any of you saw it. If you did, you'll know what we're talking about. If you missed it, this is what happened. Out of nowhere, Randy Orton's pounding the canvas like he always does, one fist at a time, setting up to the, you know, the to do the RKO crap. And all of a sudden, he just dropped like a shot, rolls out of the ring, his arm is hanging down, he's massaging his bicep. When I first saw it, I thought he tore his biceps, because that's what it looked like with his reaction. Mace, being a mat worker and seeing actual injuries, wouldn't that have been your first impression, that he might have torn his bicep?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really think it was a bicep tear until he was starting to walk away from the ring with the referees and trainers around him. And I did notice it looked like part of his bicep has folded underneath itself.
Yeah.
What I actually thought it was, he dislocated his shoulder. Just the way he was leaning off to one side, dropped the shoulder straight down. It looked like he fucked his shoulder up, pretty much.
Yeah, my second thought, and right after I typed in our little pay-per-view chat meeting, he tore his biceps, I said, no, wait a minute, that could be a separated shoulder. Dave Meltzer, I guess, of the Wrestling Observer, originally reported that he broke his arm, but I think that he did that because the announced team were talking about, oh, maybe he broke his arm, you know, because, like, okay, so if you break your forearm, you're not going to be massaging first your elbow, and secondly, you're not going to be walking with your left shoulder pointed north and your right shoulder pointed south. I've broken my arm. You don't do that. You hold the arm against your body and try to protect it as much as possible.
I heard stinger, I heard break, I heard tear. It's like, none of us are backstage. I wish the guy well, because it was a great match with an ending that I guess you had a... It was a great way for them to cover the fact that he didn't feel like going anymore. And I really hope he's not as hurt as he could be.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Omega?
Well, I heard the official report was that it is a broken arm, and it's a shame that it came when it did, because he's been on the rise as a face so fast lately that I hate to see him lose some of that momentum over some stupid thing he normally does in every match.
Yeah, this is true. Now here's the thing: if it's a broken arm, he's gone. He's not working in the ring for 6 to 8 weeks. However, if it's a separated shoulder, Mace, he's gone for like 3 to 5 weeks, right?
He'll be gone for a while. I'm not too sure how long. I've never actually separated my shoulder.
Yeah,
never a broken bone on this body yet. After all those years of wrestling, mate, I am quite proud of that.
All right, knock wood right now. Okay, good. All right, you're protected. But, yeah, Omega, according to WWE.com, it is a separated shoulder. The push might still go on. They could actually build the angle on this one. They could actually build on the feud. You know how Owen Hart, rest his soul, by the way, guys, it's his anniversary tonight, 11 years, at a pay-per-view called Over the Edge. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But saying that, if I can remember what I was talking about, because I got, you know, sidetracked. They could build up on that injury. Owen Hart walked around with the T-shirt saying, Owen 316 says I just broke your neck.
I was one of them.
Right after he flubbed the... Yeah, right? You know what I'm talking about, Omega, right?
Yeah, I remember it.
So, who's to say they can't play up on that? And with the separated shoulder, this will be the second time he separated a shoulder. Now, when you separate your shoulder once, it's extremely easy to separate it repeatedly. And just, you know, pounding your fist against something can do it, which is what we saw tonight in the ring. He pounded his fist against the canvas. He must have hit a hard part of the boards underneath the mat, Mace, and the shock, the concussion, traveled up his arm and popped it out.
Yeah, it could be possible. Recently doing refereeing, in a ring where there was not much padding around the edges. I almost swore that I broke my wrist just by doing three counts straight on the boards. So it's quite possible something like that could have happened.
So, yeah, you know, like, what's up with that, right? He used to say he's not going to come back with it taped up, and it's, you know, it's okay, pop back in. Fixing a separated shoulder super easy. You just pop it back in, hurts like a son of a bitch, and you're told not to do anything overly strenuous for a few weeks until the muscles around it tighten up, and you're good to go again. So if it's a separated shoulder, it's the best of the worst-case scenarios for Randy Orton, I think. Mace?
Very, very true. But this was just a sudden thought that popped into my head, is no matter what the injury is, whether it's his shoulder, whether it's, bicep tear or whatever, I reckon just for the sort of nostalgia factor, he should have his forearm done up in a cast like his old man.
You know, that...
Take it a few years to heal.
Yeah, that just might add to it. That actually is not a bad idea, even though it's a bit of a rehash. I'd just like to say hi real quick to J.J. Sexay of Sunday Night Showdown. Unfortunately, Sunday Night Showdown was banned earlier tonight by Ustream for absolutely no real reason at all, because Ustream just, you know, people get all bitchy and complaining and whiny, and they'll complain to Ustream that you're violating copyrighted content, even if you aren't. Trust me. It's happened to us, what, five times now, Rock? Four times? It's happened to us, and we've gone through it. We've got a way around it. We currently have five or six separate Ustream accounts ready to go, just in case. So if you are expecting to catch the Wrestling News Live tomorrow night, you're going to have to listen to it on WNL's Shoutcast feed. You can find that at www.wrestlingnewslive.tk or www.sundaynightshowdown.com. Just so you know, tomorrow night, where you guys and how you guys can catch Wrestling News Live with the Trade Dog and JJ Sexay. And JJ, you might want to stick around for the break. As we go to break, we're gonna show something here, another WTR tribute. Seeing as it's the anniversary, it might be a little bit too much for a couple of people, but there's a bit of a warning in front of it. It's different. I'll just say that. Anyway, getting back to the pay-per-view itself and the injury, it wasn't a planned finish. It was a double DQ, double count out. I guess that's pretty much the only thing they could have done. That tells me that Orton was scheduled to go over in this match.
Yeah, it sounded like the way it was going, but of course, when the injury happens, sometimes you just go throw caution to the wind and pull some sort of ending out of your ass, and the double count out seemed to be the best way for them to do it.
Yeah, there are times when you do get a very serious injury that's going to put you on the shelf for months on end, but you're still able to finish the current match. Perfect case in point, Chris Jericho versus Triple H. If you remember that matchup, they're on the announce table, and Jericho's about to slap the walls of Jericho on Triple H. And Y2J, in interviews, when he was on hiatus, on break, Y2J actually said that he asked Triple H, "Are you all right?" And Triple H says, "No, I'm pretty fucked up." And Jericho said, "Well, then I better not do this." He says, "No, you got to do it. Go for it." And that was the weakest hold I have ever seen Jericho use. Do any of you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty wild. That was a tag match. I think the late Chris Benoit was involved in that. And I can't remember who. There was another person involved in there. I want to say Kurt Angle, maybe. And it was just, that was just one of the most, it didn't look like anything. Just like when Triple H did the spine buster and did the other quad. Freak things happen in a wrestling match, as we've seen, and I don't blame Orton one bit for sliding out and the two of them covering it up. It kept them both strong if they go into a program again.
Yeah, I've done that myself when I'm wrestling. my left, basically my left side from the hip down is a bit of a mess muscle wise. Got kicked in the knee during a match, and I thought that it had actually fucked my knee right up. Had to go straight into a finish from there. You know, shit happens, and you just got to find some way around it. You know, as we say in the, you know, not only in wrestling but also here on Internet Radio, you know, the show must go on.
Yeah. Well, I wish Randy Orton a speedy recovery, but Omega, at the same time, I don't see an immediate, long-lasting halt to Randy's face push at all.
Well, that's lucky for him then, because that could have so easily been, you know, the end of the biggest rise he'll ever have in his career.
Yeah. Well, I'm still not convinced that it's the end. Just you know, it's just on hold. Let's take a look at the next match. We got three more to go here, including the World Heavyweight Championship with Jack Swagga and the Big Show. Big Show wins via DQ, but doesn't win the belt because it doesn't change on a DQ. What do you think of this match, Alan Wojciechowski?
Oh, God, it was horrible. I really was hoping this match would have been better, and the I'm going to save my ass by hitting Big Show with the belt ending. Just like, what the heck was that? I was really hoping. I'm a big fan of Swagger, and this was probably his worst match since he's gotten the championship, and maybe it was just a chemistry issue with Big Show, but I just really didn't dig this match.
It was a snorefest to me. I couldn't get into it. In fact, I think I got up and got rid of a few things, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Nace, your thoughts?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Alan on this, and also doing the same style of thing as Tim during the match.
Yeah. Omega.
Well, when you're not used to wrestling someone like the Big Show, and really the only way you can be is to wrestle the Big Show, if you're not used to that style, if you're not used to wrestling someone that weighs twice what you do, it's going to be a little bit jarring. It's going to be difficult to put on a good match. Probably not such a smart idea to have their first televised match be a pay-per-view world title match. You know, give them a tag match or something to get a feel for each other at first, something, anything. There's an inevitable rematch here. This should be a lot better, but yeah, I was not happy with the finish on this one.
Yeah, no, I was just not happy with this match at all. I gotta actually give this one a D. Rate it, guys. Start with Omega.
Yeah, probably in the same D+ range.
Okay, Mace.
D.
And Mr. Wojciechowski.
D. D for dumb.
D for dumb. F for fantastic. No, I don't think so. Thank you. Moving on. Second last match. Could you believe this is the semi-main event? The Divas Championship. Eva Torres versus Maryse.
For some reason, WWE thinks its fans like to pop boners in between championship matches.
Yeah. WWE just don't make me pop boners.
Kill the momentum. Throw some eye candy on there. We can't have too much excitement at one go.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, but the TNA Knockouts are far and away better than the WWE Divas any day of the week. And
what TNA Knockouts?
I'm not necessarily, welcome back, Spug. I'm not necessarily talking about what. So I'm talking about their in-ring ability as well. I mean, eye candy's eye candy, but when you got eye candy, they can actually put on a good match. Then that's what you want to watch. And I don't know, maybe WWE is thinking, well, maybe we should focus a little bit more on the Divas. I don't know. What do you guys think?
To be honest, during this match, I was more worried, well, not worried, but I was more wondering when the hell Eva's going to post for Playboy and get fired.
Yeah, I guessed in July. And if I remember correctly, Alan actually thought we were being serious.
I'm never sure with you crazy people, man.
Well, that's what we do. We're like oil of Olay, man. We keep you guessing.
We're being silly, Jackie. I don't believe everything.
Let's
no,
think of that. Your corner.
Omega, that's Alan.
Shut up, Susan.
He really has gone where no man has gone before. Wow.
That'd be Vicky Guerrero.
Don't get me started.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I just want to talk about last week you guys were yapping and barking about Vicky Guerrero appearing naked on the internet. They weren't real. They were set up by WWE. And what do you expect? Those extra big black squares hiding the quote-unquote supposed naughty areas. They're covering her strapless gown, for crying out loud. My God.
Tim, even the idea of Vicky Guerrero appearing naked anywhere on the internet just scared the shit out of us.
Well, I'm just wondering how gullible Tony O can really get, and then he, you know, comes up with something new every week. It's just, it's weird, you know. Tony O in the chat room, how you doing, buddy? How about those Chicago Blackhawks, Tony? Anyway, Divas Championship. Eve Torres wins and retains. Big fucking deal. I don't care. The WWE women who can wrestle aren't allowed to. The ones who can't wrestle are highlighted and choked. I'm tired of it. Screw it. The hell with it. Last match of the night, WWE Championship, the I Quit Last Man Standing, whatever the fuck you want to call it, John Cena versus Bathsheba.
It was fucking Superman. Do we really need to say anything else?
Now I get the references you guys have made. Holy God.
It took you this long to figure out Mr. No Sal Cena is our version of Superman because he can overcome anything and nothing hurts him.
He's the fucking Highlander. He can't be killed, and every win makes him stronger.
Well, Christ Omega, he got run over by a goddamn Camaro tonight, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, no, don't wreck the Camaro.
Or did he?
God.
He had a stunt guy. He's a movie man, dude. He's got stunt people.
I was so worried that they'd get Cena splattered all over that Camaro's nice paint job.
Oh, my God, they got Cena all over the car. That was you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so
here you've got Cena getting fucking put in the stew stretch, not that fucking whatever the hell he's calling it, Batista Bite or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, but the actual old stretch that hurts that was invented by Stu Hart. Go ahead.
Yeah. And having Cena go from almost passed out to picking Batista up and putting him on his fucking shoulders without really bracing anything... Yeah, there's your Superman moment.
Oh, yeah. Assets. Well, every time they stuck a microphone in Cena's face, I mean, it's like, you know, the guy's been beaten to hell, you know. You know, hear Batista, who's actually trying, you know, he sounds like he's in pain on the mic. And then every time they go, Cena, do you quit? No.
Yeah,
Good acting job.
Yeah, no wonder his fucking movies are going to DVD and not making any at the box office. I mean, could you please at least make it sound like you're in a little bit of pain? Like
he can't even sell his voice.
Do you quit, Cena? No. Do you quit? No. You just got thrown off the top of the building. Do you quit? No.
Yeah, but Batista's just as guilty. He was in the STFU, or whatever the WWE's calling it, and then he jumped right up, going like, no, I'm fine, pick you up, bam, pick you up, hey, bam.
Hey, give Batista a little bit more credit than Cena as far as his saying no goes. At least he said it with, like, some acting ability.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, he's out of breath.
Yeah, but this was
after that move. It took him a while to get to his feet to say no.
Well, maybe he could actually be blown up. Legit for real, I don't know. Alan?
Yeah, I quit matches always remind me of a Woody Allen film, I think it's Bananas, where Howard Cosell shows up at an assassination attempt, El Presidente gets shot, and Howard Cosell shows his way through and asks him, El Presidente, you've been shot, when did you know it was over? And he's mumbling something in another language, it's like, understandable to the point, it's like, of course he's not going to give up, and I think one of you guys pointed it out before, I guess right after the bell had rung, seeing that Batista grabbed the microphone and said, I quit twice, and I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't catch it until all of a sudden you guys said it. I'm like, wait, match over. Fastest I quit match in WWE history.
Yeah, he said
technically it should have ended then.
That was
it would have been a far better match.
He did say it twice after the bell rang, and we're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but we're trying logic with wrestling.
Short,
ain't such thing.
Quick story about I Quit match that I went and saw at a local promotion down here.
Yes,
the way that they ended it was, one of the competitors had got up He was stumbling on his feet, had the shit kicked out of him. The referee's gone, "Hey, dude, do you know what the name of this match is?" And he's put the microphone over and he's gone, "Yeah, it's an I Quit match." And the referee's turned around and gone, "Match over."
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant, just for the computer genius of it. Really, when you saw
it. That was the best way to end an I Quit match I've ever seen.
That was good. You gotta give him that. You gotta give it that. That was good. So yeah, there you go. John Cena wins, and he still FUs or whatever you want to call it. Batista threw the floor from the Camaro, and the entire time I'm thinking, don't dent the Camaro.
Well, once again, they were so quick to help Batista, who just went through a steel floor. Because I guess he wasn't bleeding.
Yeah, there you go. Alright, so there's our pay-per-view coverage. Really quickly, for me, the match of the night, the saving grace, was the Unified Tag Team Championship, Hart Dynasty versus Jura Miz. I got to give the pay-per-view a C+, a solid C+. Alan?
I'm giving it a B- for every situation that really was horrible. It turned out really good. There was some logic plot holes of like, okay, after that entire grueling match, here comes Sheamus? Huh?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
it. It was way more entertaining than the TNA pay-per-view last week that I was subjected to.
Okay, yeah, it was more entertaining than last week's TNA pay-per-view. I will give you that much. Mace?
It's going to be a C from me because, yeah, it seemed to go nowhere, but went somewhere at the same time.
Okay. Omega?
Probably a B- from me. I mean, after the last TNA pay-per-view, and especially after the last WWE pay-per-view, because we basically trashed on both of them. I went into this one forgetting, okay, let's not think about anything except just being entertained, just pretend I'm a fan for the night. Don't get concerned over, well, they could have done this instead, and that would have led to this and this and this. Just be entertained by what they presented, and on that, I thoroughly enjoyed it tonight, despite a few hiccups like sudden injuries and a couple of BS endings. I'm looking at you, Swagger.
Well, don't get me wrong. Overall, just as somebody watching WWE pay-per-view, I was entertained. And you know, the rating system here at WTR, we're saying that it was worth the money, but barely worth the money. If it's worth paying for the replay, I can't say. I wouldn't watch the replay. I would not buy the replay. Okay, but that's just me. That being said, everybody, WTR Tributes returns tonight. We're going to, go to break with it, and because this is the 11th anniversary, this is the night 11 years ago that Owen Hart passed away. This is a very special WTR Tributes, Owen Hart. It's called Gone Away, and it was put together by yours truly, and I don't know if I should say you enjoy the video, but I hope that you find that it's a fitting tribute. How's that? A fitting tribute? Would that work? Alan asking in the background chat, dare I watch this because I'm a huge Owen Hart fan? Yeah, Alan, I put it together. I'm the guy that says Owen Hart was 10 times better than his brother Brett the Hitman. So it's not. I will frame it by saying it doesn't focus on Owen's wrestling. It focuses on Owen, the man himself, and his family. So everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday night. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back on the other side of this timeout. We got some interesting things to talk about, and a clip or two that I want to play for especially Spug and Omega, just because of what happened last week and what I said to them in chat, because I couldn't talk, didn't have my voice. Don't go anywhere, everybody. We'll be back right after this timeout. Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
The NHL regular season has come to an end. The Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that will eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Cruiserweight champion in WWE, Cruiserweight champion. Cheers for the Super Rat idea.
You got respect. Not the bad one. Not the great one. You got respect. The juicy one.
And you're listening to WildTalkRadio.com radio show, the best juicy show in the world.
Welcome back, everyone, to WrestleZone Radio. This is Mr. Money, someone who's Internet Dave, and back to Money on the Mic, JJ Sexay.
What? Wow. Okay, Omega, all I can tell you is maybe lay off the Jack Daniels a little bit because you've stopped making sense. What the WrestleZone Radio? Good evening. Welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio. WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, everybody. I just want to make sure that the entire crew that is supposed to be here, that can be here, is here. Let's just do a little bit of a roll call. Alan Wojcicki.
Hello.
Spugalicious.
Go fuck yourself.
Okay, well, at least I didn't call you Spuggling Monroe.
Ooh.
Hey, you leave my twin sister out of this.
Mace.
What the fuck do you want?
There you go. Omega.
I'm here, Susan.
Okay, we're going to start calling you Ham and Ager instead of Omega. You keep that up. Bret Hart, last week on WWE Raw, takes on The Miz for the U.S. title championship. I got something for you guys to listen to, okay? I want you to hear this. I want you to pay close attention, especially Spug and Omega.
Oh, this comes from the guy who's listening in on the phone conversation but can't talk and is in our chat room. He says, no midget Brett tomorrow. He'll show up for the match. Tyson Kidd will blindside Miz. And Brett will pin him to win the championship. The last match in the WWE will be a title win. Really?
I like it.
You Canadians are more stupid than I thought.
And with the U.S. title, a Canadian's going to come and steal it away.
Okay, you Canadians are more stupid than I thought. That was the last thing that Spug said. And Spug was reading what I typed in the background chat last week. Those of you listening last week may remember I wasn't on the show because I had laryngitis. Couldn't talk. So they start talking about this, and they were going this way, that way, and the other way, looking at everything but the obvious. I said, guys, Brett's going to win the title. He's going to win the title, and he's because TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, will blindside Miz. Alan, are you stunned by this revelation?
Ridiculously stunned, especially, didn't he announce in some mainstream media interviews that my contract's up May 17th and I'm not coming back, and next thing I know it's like, okay, I guess it's the word renegotiated came up. I was honestly hoping this was a swerve to get Bryan Danielson the belt, but obviously, as we saw, Bret Hart's the U.S. champ for, what, the fifth or sixth time in his career?
Fifth time.
Okay.
Yeah, but as far as all that goes, what do you think about those guys laughing at me after me saying what I said?
Okay. To be fair, that clip did include the phrase, I like the idea.
Uh-huh. Okay. You still made fun of me, Omega.
I make fun of you a lot, Susan.
I think I'm on the boat there, too. I thought it was a pretty preposterous idea, but I'm... Either one of you guys is picking the Powerball Lotto down here in Florida. The Powerball Lotto in the southeast of the U.S. is $190 million, so one of you is picking it, and we're all winning some money.
Okay,
I blew it on draft night.
Now, let me just point out that yours truly, that's right, the O-L-D-O-N-E, Tim Stein, he's the one who actually said that. Spug, what have you got to say in your defense?
Goddamn thing. Go fuck yourself.
Okay, well, here, let me say it for you.
Tim was right.
Say it again?
Tim was right.
What?
Tim was right.
Are you sure?
Tim was right.
Do it one more time.
Tim was right.
Hey, Spud, was I wrong?
Tim was right.
Thank you. Okay, call me stupid, you motherfucker. That'll teach you. So, Bret Hart, U.S. champion. Where's this leading, Alan?
Oh, man, I really wish I could figure this one out. There's no tea leaves for this one, but I had mentioned it Tuesday night about on a show that I can't talk about due to legal reasons that putting the U.S. title on Bret Hart is the equivalent of when I was covering TNA when a certain NFL player named Adam Pac-Man Jones became TNA World Tag Team Champion and wrestled even after the NFL told him while he was on suspension, hey, Adam, you can't take a bump. You can't get a paper cut. You can't do anything. So WWE said, yeah, sure, let's put the belt on a gentleman who I have tons of respect for. I'm a big mark of the Hart family, especially the late Owen, who it's sad to see a pay-per-view on the same day as his passing, but that's for another time. And I just don't understand how is he going to compete. I guess we'll have to tune in to Raw tomorrow night from wherever they're promoting another. I don't even remember who the guest visitor is pubbing something this week.
I don't know who the guest host is, and I really don't give a fuck because I think it's a dumb idea to begin with.
All right, but at least we're not boycotting it.
There you go. That's certain other people who refuse to get an internet connection that lets them stay on the phone line. But I'm not going to name names. Omega, Bret Hart, U.S. title holder. Where the hell are they going?
I really have no idea. I would expect to see the title held up at some point or. Wait 30 days and pull the rule that nobody claims anymore, or, you know, Brett, you know, officially retire, advocate the belt, et cetera, et cetera. See, you know, it's Brett. I mean, they can't have anyone I mean, they can't put him in a match because apparently now he'll be working night by night, even if he does show up again. I'm thoroughly lost, to be honest.
Think that they're actually going to tie this in with Bryan Danielson at some point?
No, if you're going to do that, you should have done it. It only had meaning when you had the belt on Miz. At this point, it's a wasted gesture.
I can see some off-the-hook matches between Danielson and Miz for that U.S. title, and I still think that Danielson's going to be involved starting tomorrow night. Mace, what do you think?
I really don't care. I really don't. It's a fucking waste to put a title on a guy who can't defend it. If they give it away, then it makes the belt lose fucking credibility. They hold a tournament, then it's going to end up being a gigantic fucking clusterfuck. Who cares? Fuck it.
So you don't see any way of salvaging this, then?
Not really. But then again, it's the WWE. They're full of fucking retards.
Well, I'd ask Spug, but he's not on the line, or is he back? Are you back, Spug?
Go fuck yourself.
Okay, there you go. Bret Hart with the U.S. title. What are they going to do?
Hopefully fucking strip him of it, because it makes no goddamn sense. You have a worker who can't work.
Yep.
Holding a belt. No, that's like giving the retard at the Special Olympics the gold medal, even though he didn't earn it.
Yeah, here's the thing. Is Bret Hart not able to work in the ring because of his injuries or because of the insurance policy that he continues to collect on, saying, you can't wrestle, so here's your insurance money. If you wrestle, you don't get your money anymore.
From the insurance company, so I would assume that, you know, he doesn't want to risk losing that money, so it made no sense to give him the title to begin with. None. And if you're gonna do something, strip him of the title, put it back on Miz, or put it up for grabs, and give it to Danielson. Or have Danielson and Miz go at it for it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Now, just because I literally called what they were going to do doesn't say that that's what they should have done or that I was condoning it. I was just saying, hey, this is what's going to happen, guys. I don't think Bret should be holding that title, but I don't see an easy way to get around that. He's not going to take any kind of a bump that's going to let him get pinned. He's going to have to basically do what he has said for 12 years, what he was going to do with the WWE Championship. He's going to hand it over and walk away. And
I also don't see that happening either.
It's a vacated title, and it's up for grabs. So I bet you that Alan is probably in agreement with what I was thinking there. Right, Alan?
I mentioned that Tuesday night. I was thinking along those lines, let him get his closure, so to speak, then Miz comes out, then Danielson or Bryant, whatever the hell they're calling him. I said, I'm a big Bret Hart fan, but I didn't understand this at all, and I'm sure there's callers that maybe wanted to join us or people in your chat room that are feeling the same way as us. Or maybe they're sitting there going, yeah, we love Bret Hart getting the belt again. Cool. I can't get behind it as much as I'd love to.
Well, talking about people in the chat room calling in with an opinion, we do have somebody. And because it is, yes, 10:34 Eastern time, he's right on time. Randy.
What's up? Yes, Bug, I finally called in at 10:30, 12:30, whatever the fucking time is, Eastern time. So are you happy now?
As I've told Tim all night, go fuck yourself.
Okay.
So what's your point, Randy?
I did not forget Rock. Yes, it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Hey, Randy.
What?
I don't know what they teach you down in Texas, and I don't know what your parents taught you, but in the English-speaking language, F does not replace TH. It's not birth. It's birth. Birth. Not birth.
Oof. Don't get me started on that, because my friends keep on telling me I mess up the THs. I try to avoid saying that. But now you have to bring it up?
You're okay. Black. You can't help it.
Okay, that's enough racist screw. Crap from you. Shut up. I'm sorry, Randy. He's white. He can't help it.
Nah, it's all right. It's all right. I don't really give a shit now. But I got to see a little bit of the pay-per-view up to... Who was fighting? I think Swagger Big Show just started, so I didn't really get to see all the good stuff, like Punk Mysterio, tag team match, whatever else they had.
Yeah,
but I thought it was an okay pay-per-view from what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an okay pay-per-view. Like, you know, like I keep saying all the time, you know, all these are our opinions, and you're welcome to them. You can ignore them if you want. We're just... You know, we're analyzing the fucking thing. We're not putting it down. We're not putting it over like we want to suck everybody. You know, we all want to suck WWE's dick or anything like that. We are being as objective as possible, and we're pointing out the minutiae. It's up to you guys to decide whether or not you liked it or not. Right, Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope that Bryan Danielson does get the U.S. title tomorrow night on Raw, or whatever they do with Bret Hart, but hopefully they give it to Danielson.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out tomorrow night for sure. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure something will. Here's a little bit of a bombshell that everybody except Alan Wojtkowski knew. Bret Hart was scheduled to be at WrestleFest tomorrow night, but he canceled, saying that he had to be at Raw. How many people did not know that?
I was not.
This is the first I've heard of him even being at WrestleFest or whatever, but now... Interesting.
Yeah, so... And this all came about, like, I think Thursday or Friday. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rock, but it was something like Thursday or Friday that he announced his cancellation because he had to be wherever the hell Raw's going to be tomorrow night.
Somewhere there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's that Raw, and... As you were pointing out, May 31st is going to be Ashton Kutcher hosting, and I wonder, is he going to bring the farmhand with him?
Oh, shit, no, somebody get Punk, and you know it's going to involve Santino.
Oh, shit, I just thought about that. They're probably going to Punk somebody. They already punked Cena and Triple H before. Like, well, Triple H is very punk Cena.
Yeah, but on the show Punk, they're gonna do this time around. They'll do a version of it on Raw, and Santino will be involved. This is my edumacated guess, and as we know, when I make an edumacated guess, it forces Pug to say
Tim was right.
Yeah, so you know,
it forces Pug to say, "Hey Tim, go fuck yourself."
No, it forces Pug to say
Tim was right.
So there, and then. Spug says.
Tim was right.
Yep, that's what he says. Didn't want to take the bait final, just put words in your mouth. After all, they're your own. So what else is on your mind tonight, Randy? You caught the WTR tribute for Owen Hart. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked the tribute. I thought that when I looked at some of the high school picks, Owen Hart looked like the bully from The Karate Kid.
Yeah, he looked.
Did anybody catch that?
He did look a little bit like I think his name was Danny some or other, the one that
William
he was.
Zabka.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the actor's name, I bet.
Yeah, the actor. But yeah, no, you got a point. He did have a passing resemblance to him. So, but yeah, that was a little bit of a different tribute than what we normally put together, don't you think?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. That it's just a sad day in general. May 23rd. You look at that, and then as other people point out, too, Jeff Jarrett's wife also died on this day, too, after fighting her battle with cancer.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago. So anyway, Randy, thanks for calling into WTR like you normally do.
Yeah, I finally called in around 10:30, a little later, but fuck it, close enough.
Well, it's the time you're supposed to call in. So are you happy the Chicago Blackhawks knocked off the San Jose Sharks?
I thought the Blackhawks were going to win. I wasn't mad at the Sharks after they beat the Red Wings, so I could give a shit anymore. But, yeah, the Blackhawks will go. I can give a shit if it's the Flyers or Canadians who go on. Blackhawks are going to end their drought finally.
Okay, so you're predicting the Blackhawks for the Cup. Are you serious? You still think the Canadians are going to come back from 3-1 and make it to the final?
I don't really care who wins it there. It's probably going to be Rocks Flyers, but you never know. The Flyers might have a comeback pulled out on them like they did to the Bruins.
Yeah, well, don't forget that the Canadians were down 3-1 in each of the previous two series. This is the last hockey talk we'll be doing on this show, at least for tonight. So I just wanted to sing as your hockey fan. I always want to bring that up real quick. So, thanks.
I thought the Canadiens were never down 3-1 to the Penguins. That's what you were telling me last week. They were never down 3-1.
I never said that.
Yes, you did, you fucking retard.
They weren't. Well, okay, wait a minute.
They were never down 3-1.
You're right. They weren't down 3-1 against Penguins. Anyway, they were down 3-2. Anyway, I just don't think that they got it in them. I don't think they got it in them to actually knock off the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's my birthday present to Rock, my saying that the Flyers will probably win tomorrow night. And Sir Rockin actually wants to say something. Rock, Mr. Producer, come on.
I just want to interrupt and say,
it's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice with Tim Stein continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bastard. I just spat my Coke all over my screen, man. Okay, that one deserves kudos. There's one more clip that we got to play later on tonight, Rock. You know which one I'm talking about, so we'll do that later. But, yeah, Randy, once again, thanks for calling in. Time for us to move on and get the hell off my phone line.
All right, then. Peace out.
Peace out, brother. Catch you later. Yeah, Randy McWilliams, you know him in the chat room, is Ren the Kelp 91. Everybody, you want to call in, it's Sir Rockin' on Skype, or it's 888-357-9876, option number one tonight. You got some points you want to ponder? Give us a holla holla. Guys, who should be the general manager of Raw? It'll be announced tomorrow night. Alan?
They're seriously finally going to lock in a GM after all these god-awful guest hosts. Yep. I mean, this is a tough one, and I enjoyed when William Regal was involved as the GM. I'll put him, unless they're going to bring someone out of left field like JBL, maybe sitting on his couch going, yeah, I'm bored, I'll come back.
Uh-huh. Interesting thought. Spug.
Do I have to pick a GM?
Well, who do you think might be tabbed?
I seriously thought for the longest time it was going to be Bret Hart, but I don't know now.
Oh. Mace.
I'm going to go completely out of left field and go Tony Atlas.
Okay, Ricky Ricardo. Omega.
You know, he jokes about that, but Abraham Washington is doing absolutely nothing, but he's still on the payroll.
Doing absolutely nothing on the payroll. Do you really see Abraham Washington as the general manager of Raw?
For some reason, WWE likes him. And, you know, despite being a guy who looks like he has chocolate frosting for hair, they seem to want to put him on TV all the time.
Now, go back for a sec to Spug saying Bret Hart. What do you think of this little scenario? Bret shows up with the U.S. title saying, well, it was a great run. I didn't expect to win this, but I can't wrestle. I can't defend the title. So I'll tell you what. I'll hand it off for an open tournament as long as you make me the general manager for Raw, and I'll declare a tournament for the U.S. title.
Yawn.
I could see it for 1 week, but I don't think it'd go on very long.
Oh. Well, I have to say that one of my options, and Rock can back me up on this because we talked about it, one of my options for general manager of Raw is Bret Hart. And it still is.
Very good. We don't care. Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares? So, that's...
an overwhelming round of indifference.
As long as it's not Vicky fucking Guerrero.
Hallelujah!
All right, can we all just, like, be in accordance with this one?
Sure.
Name whoever the fuck you want, as long as it's not Vicky.
Yeah.
We'll even accept The Miz.
God, I don't need to hear his... I admit to being a fan of The Miz, but I cannot tolerate that.
Tim,
go ahead.
Can I do one of your educated guesses type deals here?
Please do.
Given the current situation between Teddy Long and Drew McIntyre, seeing as every time something has gone wrong, Drew has had to go over Teddy's head to Vince McMahon, maybe this time it would result in Teddy being booted off SmackDown, therefore giving Vicky Guerrero the SmackDown GM role. So that would leave him open to do Raw.
Interesting speculation, and I have to admit, I wouldn't mind seeing Teddy Long back on Raw. It's been years since he's been a full-time player, if you'll pardon the pun.
Holla holla.
So, there you be. Whoa. Don't ever play with crazy glue while you're talking on a microphone. That's a bad thing. Anyway, a couple of news items. Scott Hall. And it's really too bad that Will's not around to be heard from this time around. Scott Hall was arrested for drunken disorderly. Who didn't hear about this?
And in other news, the Sun came up.
Yeah. Very good, Omega. Yeah, so we got into a bit of a shouting match at a bar, and he was intoxicated. So the cops arrested him. Is anybody surprised by this?
I'm going to have to answer that with, who the fuck cares?
Okay. My next question
is... Good thing they've got Eric Young in the band, so if they lose Scott Hall, it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah, there you go. Now, my next question is how, this is relates to what you just said. How is this going to affect his run in TNA?
Well, I think that's kind of why Nash officially stated that they were going with the Freebird rule, just in case...
Paul fucked up. So, one thing to keep in mind, TNA has taped all of their shows... in advance up until mid-June. So, after...
Really?
Yeah, after that little hiatus, then...
Not kidding.
We'll worry about it, find out. He'll, probably get a fine, and that's it. And that's perfectly okay, whatever. Okay, moving on.
No wonder nobody fucking watches TNA.
Yeah. So, Carlos Carlito Colon also made news, this time with WWE. This time... being released for wellness violation. Now, this is not his third strike, as in three strikes and you're out. It's like his first one. But he refused to go to rehab, so they said, fuck off.
Like Spoke said with Scott Hall, who cares?
So, nobody saw this.
If you're going to quote me, at least do it right. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, that's right. Who the fuck cares? That's the direct quote, as opposed to the
I'm sorry that... Is the quote supposed to go fuck you, Tim?
Here, I'll tell you who cares. Primo. Primo Mears. They finally did something with them after months. They started to put the tag team back together. The guy isn't even a jobber on Superstars. He's doing jack shit. They
so now
finally
that,
do something, and then his brother goes and fucks up.
So now that his brother's been his brother's been released, is this basically instant limbo for Primo?
Well, isn't his cousin Tito down in FCW right now?
I think
at least
he
that's
is.
What I read somewhere.
Yeah, I think
and
he is.
What exactly is the wellness policy for strike one? Is it a 30-day suspension without pay and rehab, or what? I've never actually seen on paper the feds.
Well, actually,
nobody's seen it on paper.
You can access WWE's wellness policy at WWE Corporate. You have to really search your ass off, and you have to hit like 15 links. But strike one is 30-day suspension. You don't get paid. Second is 60-day suspension. Third violation is dismissal. Rehab is it depends on what the violation is for. If your first violation is for a human growth hormone, there's no rehab for it. If your first violation is for Vicodin addiction, there's rehab. And if you're addicted to something, then it's at WWE's discretion. You go to rehab or that's it.
Now, what about the story that he apparently showed up at Raw that he was, quote-unquote, unfit to perform? And I'm sure Jeff Hardy's shown up a bunch of times unfit to perform, but they let him go out there.
Well, Jeff Hardy, first off, is a bigger name. Secondly, Jeff Hardy, I'm beginning to believe, can't perform unless he is wasted out of his tree.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Who else would jump off a ladder every night he can?
Yeah, you know, and do some insane fucking bumps that Jeff Hardy pulls off. Ain't no way anybody Stone Cold Sober is doing that. But, where was I? apparently, Carlito showed up Monday night and he was just absolutely blitzed. I'm not going to confirm this, but, apparently he was just totally, wasted on Vicodin or, Soman's, one of the two, to the point where he couldn't actually, you know, speak properly, never mind climb into the ring and pull off some complicated movesets. And that's when he was, initially, suspended, so to speak, and then released when he said no to rehab.
Yep. So, okay. Next.
Yeah. Next. So
Carlito's proven on many occasions he doesn't want to be there anyway.
Okay. Sure. We'll go with that one.
Well, he's the one that trashes WWE every chance he gets. He's the one that constantly bitches.
Okay, there you go. True. Well, everybody, don't go away. We're going to come back to perform the last part of the show, the regular thing that we always do. We got quick hits coming up. You'll see WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing beats being cool. And I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist,
genius.
You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Fuck math.
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Fuck math!
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
While we're listening to that song, play it off like, you know, you go to the carnival, the midway rides, and you hear something like that. Does everybody want to go faster? Let me hear say yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah, that was some kind of a disco remix of '80s rap song called "The Roof Is on Fire." Some of you might recognize it. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn, burn, motherfucker burn. You don't recognize that song, Alan?
I think the Bloodhound Gang redid it in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think that was the Bloodhound Gang. Omega, you were about to...
Yeah, I vaguely remember the original song.
Okay. Alrighty. I don't know why I decided to send that to Rock and say, hey, play this, but I did. And I think I'm violating the WTR wellness policy.
Uh-oh.
Whose decision was it to play rap earlier?
You know, you
that was mine. Rap is crap was mine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys should learn to talk one at a time. That's all I can say. Sir Rockin' is the guy who decided to play rap is crap, and he knows that it would never come from me because I hate country. Country is shit. I don't give a fuck.
Pathetic. It's perfect.
I don't care what anybody says in defense of country. Country music is fucking pathetic. You know, you play the country song backwards, you get everything back. I mean, fuck, come on. The only person who laughed at that is probably the only person on the planet who hadn't heard the joke up to this point. Alan, what the fuck?
fuck?
I'm the one who lived in Nashville for a couple of years, so that's how I heard it in Nashville in 2001.
So, yeah, there you go. You know, I played my country and western song backwards. My wife, my kids, my dog, and my car all came back to life. Speaking about coming back to life, Alan.
Hi.
You and I had a little chat tonight during the pay-per-view. And you told me that you're no longer on OWW Radio.
Apparently I'm not due to, I believe, Nick Anthony and Corey Morrow put it, creative differences or conflict of interest, I think is the terms that they're using.
Okay. Would you like to talk about it just really quickly before we get into quick hits?
I can basically say that, yeah, I walked off the show Tuesday night. I emailed Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich, the two higher powers at OWW Radio, and apologized for my conduct in walking off the show the way I did and let them know the reasons why I did, which is basically the host of the show himself, Nick Anthony, who led himself to be one thing when I first started on that show and turned out to be one of the most unprofessional people on the show. I don't understand how you do a radio show, or as he says, he's a talk show host with wild opinions. I don't understand how you go on a radio show having not watched Raw because you're boycotting the show because of guest hosts. You're not watching NXT because you watch the first episode and don't care. You don't watch SmackDown. So Aaron and I, when Aaron's actually allowed to talk, and I do feel bad for the kid, we have to tailor the show to what you want to talk about. And after I was on the call talking to you and Rockin' and Spug, and the whole time we're talking, he's trying to get me to come back on the show, and he's like, wow, that was a great work. I really enjoyed that. And I'm like, what part of a work was there? And if you're a fan, if you're one of the people that looks at me on Facebook and you saw my Facebook status, which was, hey, OWW listeners, 100% shoot, Nick did this, I didn't, I quit, best of luck in future endeavors. He tried for about 45 minutes to try to get me to come back on the show this coming Tuesday. And when I didn't, in the OWW Genesis form, which you can get through on myworldofwrestling.com, he posted this. And this is probably going to be the only time I'll ever use profanity on the radio, so I apologize in advance to everyone. He wrote, fuck it, he's done. I don't want him back ever on OWW. Fucking bastard, prick, son of a bitch, motherfucker. I am so fucking pissed right now. Fucking quitter, asshole, fuck. He's like, that son of a bitch family, Von Erickson, that bastard UK promoter who quit on life and committed suicide. Fuck him, he's dead to me. In all honesty, I would like him banned from OWW, but I don't have say in that, so I only can pray he badmouths us, so the administrations have no choice. If he does one thing to try to hurt us further, the gloves come off. Enough of this bigger man bullshit. Now, apparently, in the email that I wrote to Brad Dykens, which I would be glad to provide to anyone that wants to see it, I made no references to Nick Anthony, Scott, Corey, Aaron, or anyone else. All I did was say to Brad, who, in case anyone wonders, I've had a business relationship with since before OWW Radio ever existed, Nick Anthony, before you probably were ever involved in radio, Nick Anthony, or watching wrestling, Nick Anthony, because I sent my stuff to the original OWW site when I was covering TNA Wrestling in 2002, when hardly anybody was watching the damn production, and I was busting my ass in Nashville and then coming here to Florida. And it turns out that that he's ruining the OWW brand, and he's not a journalist, and he's a talk show host with wild opinions. Well, when you have 12 listeners on your show, Nick Anthony, congratulations on that. I'm really happy, and I hope you have great success with your product. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to have a reputation that I built for 9 years to be ruined by some guy in California who claims he's a wrestling fan and then doesn't watch the product and tries to come on the radio show that he created, as we found out, after I said to them, I don't want a Johnny Devine clip played during your 3-hour show. I don't want to see any of that Wrestlelicious garbage on there. So what did they do? They played the two clips. And yeah, that's what got me going. So as Paul Heyman liked to say, that's right, Nick Anthony, this was a shoot on you. And I appreciate absolutely nothing you did for me except for one thing. You introduced me to this show because of you and letting them let me watch the pay-per-views with them. I got to make some very great friendships with these people who seem to respect my opinion and don't make their opinion the only one that matters on the show. And now that I've totally probably put everyone on Russell Talk Radio to sleep, I'll shut up and let them do their quick hits.
Oh, are you done? Sorry. I fell asleep.
You're violating the WTR wellness policy, dude. May I have to pee test you.
Yeah, I'm not taking drugs. That's how my violation happens. No, Alan, it's understandable something happened that you didn't feel comfortable with, I guess is a good way to put it. So, if something doesn't work, you got to walk away from it. Kudos.
Well, my other problem was I admitted to Brad, I said I let personal feelings get in the way of my professionalism, because he was basically saying, for fans that didn't listen, and he was basically trying to set up a debate between him taking a TNA as a greater product and the WWE is not, and people like Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, Jack Gator Haas, and the Nasty Boys who were fired for being morons should be taking the places of people that I consider legit, like you consider TJ Wilson a friend. I consider someone like Tennessee Cowboy James Storm a very good friend that I've known since before there was a TNA wrestling. And he was saying that people like Storm and AJ Styles, of all the people, should get out of the way and let these WWE people come in. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. And that the Hogan-Bischoff era is, you know, we're rebuilding from this point. And I was like, and we've had this discussion on this show. You're making, like, Hogan-Bischoff coming in, that's, you know, the entire 7 years and months of TNA wrestling didn't exist because Terry Bollea and Eric Bischoff showed up. It's like they everybody's on this country and we're walking around and these two guys come with their flag. Yes, I went with an Eddie Izzard reference and said, got a flag? No. Good. Boom. All right. Welcome to our TNA wrestling. So, I wish them nothing but the absolute best. I hope their show gets tons of listeners, as he claims they're going to get on a Sirius XM radio show, which was another way he tried to bait me into coming back. But this was your bait to call in, Nick Anthony, and defend yourself, but I guess you're not taking the bait. And go ahead. Ban me from OWW Genesis.
Well, Alan, I do have to say that I can relate. Back in the day, back in 2003, I walked away from one of the hottest internet wrestling radio shows on the interwebs at the time due to personal differences. I didn't appreciate being treated I'm not going to say the quote unquote ethnic slur word, but you get the idea. Yeah, it was a case of, you know, me and Chris Chisholm not getting along because, well, he was a fucking dink and didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Little kid, he's a little too fucking big for his britches at the time. And if he's listening, good for him. I hope that he does great with whatever he does. I don't personally give a fuck because I don't have any feelings for him one way or the other. But at the time, couldn't deal with it, couldn't put up with it. So I walked away. Never said a bad thing about Chris on the air. He started putting me down like crazy. And after he started jumping on me is when I said a couple of things. Didn't say anything too nasty. Didn't do anything overt or anything like that. I've had people walk away from me during a show on WTR and call it over creative differences. However, that was a little something different, and it didn't affect our personal relationship. We're not enemies. We don't hate each other. We get along. Some of you guys might understand who I'm talking about. No, it wasn't Maybrick. It was the other guy. It's all good. Neither one of us have a bad thing to say about the other one. And that's, you know, that's all perfectly well and good, fine. No problem at all. All I gotta say, basically, to make a short story long, Alan, kudos to you for not saying anything nasty.
Yeah, why was I saying anything nasty?
One quick thing, well, ask a question before we move on to quick hits and close out the show.
Yeah.
When I listened to the archive of the particular show in question there, Alan, and I actually want an answer to this question. Since you're not a Hulk Hogan fan, who was it that actually got you to start enjoying wrestling?
It's your boy Ric Flair, baby, and that's why it's a shame to see him the way he is now.
There you go.
A fan of the 60-Minute Man. What can I say? He's a style and profiling guy at 10, 11 years old, sitting there watching WWF in New York going, God, this Hogan guy is horrible. And one of my friends going, hey, there's this TBS channel. You need to check that out. And that was it.
Oh, there you go. I was listening to it, and when you didn't answer the question, I'm like, that's what he walked out on? Damn. I was actually getting interested there for a second.
Yeah, I'm sure no one that was listening was.
Yeah, no, we hear the WTR crew. We make fun, and we pick on other people and other shows on the network. But it's all in good clean fun, and we're not malicious about it. Isn't that right, Mav? Oh, by the way.
I apologize to Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich if they end up seeing a transcript of this, but there's only so much you can take before you just let
fuck
loose,
Mav.
So I apologize to them.
Jesus Christ, bugger you slow. Yeah, fuck Mav. But yeah, anyway, you know, I've even taken a couple of good-natured pot shots at Nick Anthony, and it wasn't anything serious. It was all good, clean fun. But you didn't even take any good-natured pot shots, and I got to say, you know, that's very up and up of you, and very noble and very mature and very grown up, and good for you, young fella. Good for you, Alan Wojcicki.
I get the gold star for the day, yay me.
You get a gold star, yeah. All right. That being said, tonight during Quick Hits, Alan, you will play the part of the WTR redneck, Will.
Howdy, y'all.
Yeah, they just keep saying y'all and
no, you got it wrong. It's hey yo.
Hey yo, yeah, hey yo, because he's the Scott Hall of the WTF.
Hey yo.
They, hey, that,
yeah,
you did
yeah
that,
it helps if you have alcohol nearby.
Oh, that'll never happen. I'm straight edge, so I can fake it with the best.
Okay, well, grab a glass of Evian water or whatever and pretend it's vodka. And
yes,
we'll be good to go. Everybody, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
All right, here we go. Really, really simple. Two quick questions, two quick answers to everybody on the panel. Too bad Will's not around. I wish he was, but what the hell? We got fake Will. And fake Will, that kind of reminds me of my buddy Rick Titan, you know, fake Razor Ramon. Who replaced the original Razor Ramon Scott Hall? You see how that ties in, Alan?
Yo.
Isn't that scary, huh? Yeah. All right, so first question of the night goes to the Thunder from Down Under, Mace.
Is it a TNA question?
No, not at all. Is Kurt Angle still a big deal in wrestling?
That is a TNA question. Sort of.
Well,
in a roundabout way.
Not directly.
Well, I'm assuming this comes down to his promo that he recently did on Impact about denying himself the number two spot on the top 10 rankings in order to actually work his way to that position. But to answer your question, Kurt Angle is still a big deal in wrestling. He's not a bigger deal as he used to be, but he is still a big deal. He's still able to go just as well as he has done since his debut. Whenever the fuck that was, I can't remember, I think it was 99. So, yeah, he's still a big thing in wrestling.
Okay. Will, played by Alan Wojtkowicki, what pro wrestling legend needs the DVD treatment?
Could you repeat the question?
What pro wrestling legend needs the DVD treatment?
Ooh. See, they're already stealing everything on me because you already have Ricky the Dragon, which is on my must list. I could see a Ravishing Rick Rude one. And Spug's kind of feeding that one to me, so thank you, appreciate it. I'll go Rick Rude. I would love Owen Hart's already been kind of covered, I guess, by the Hart Legacy DVD. I'd love to see WWE, since they bought the rights to the Gorgeous George story, go with that. I'd like to see a Gorgeous George one. I mean, it all depends who actually owns some of the Golden Era film libraries. That's the problem.
Okay, who are you a huge fan of, Alan?
That I would want to see? It's already been out there. They did two Ric Flair DVDs. That was enough to make me a happy man. I mean, obviously Sting would be another good one, but unless he retires at some point.
Okay, well, let me do this here in a way that will actually push you towards what I'm talking about. Who did you say in this little behind-the-scenes production chat tonight that you were his biggest fan?
Owen Hart.
What about him?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen the Hart Legacy DVD, so I don't know how much of Owen is mentioned in that. I mean, it all depends on the, like, isn't that kind of a legality thing with the late Mrs., with Mrs. Hart herself, his widow? Does she have a control of any kind on that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the legalities. I mean,
yeah, well, Martha kind of blocked the majority of anything concerning Owen as far as WWE goes. But you have to remember, never say never. All right, next, Omega. Should the new Raw GM hire Daniel Bryan to the Raw roster right away to capitalize on his popularity?
Absolutely not, but he should hire Bryan Danielson to capitalize on his popularity.
Okay, yeah, sure, that works. Hey, Spug!
Go fuck yourself.
What are the keys to having a successful stable?
At least two members must be over. Must be over. You go back to the original, the Four Horsemen. You had Arn and Ole, who were over as all hell as a tag team. You had Tully Blanchard, who was over as all hell as a singles wrestler. And, oh, of course, you had Ric Flair. So, at least two members must be over as all hell.
Okay.
The second key to having a successful stable is the ability to actually work a microphone. Because as we've seen in the past with some of the good stables, the Generation X, the Four Horsemen, Evolution, they've all been able to work a mic, and they've all been able to keep a audience interested, at least in some part, in what they've had to say. And third, and probably most important, you gotta be able to fucking wrestle and get what you want.
Very good, very, very, very concise answer. It's almost like you thought that one out. Very impressive. Okay, Mace, if you were to start a women's wrestling federation, what female wrestler would you build the company around?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is.
Zombie hot.
Zombie hot.
Yeah, I'm pretty much gearing towards Daphne. That's because personal preference and the fact that I'd be able to work closely with her.
You just want
to
get
to be,
there.
To be honest, I wouldn't base it around one particular wrestler. I'd try and get a roster of women who can wrestle and actually put on pretty much the opposite of Wrestlicious.
Oh, you mean a good product?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was low. But true. Alan?
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite fancy food?
When did I suddenly become a guest judge on Iron Chef America, man?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Iron Chef America. It's awesome.
I love that show, and I can't eat any of the damn stuff that's on that show, but...
You know what makes that show great?
The Japanese chef.
The fact that I haven't seen a Canadian on there yet.
Yeesh. The name is Masaharu Morimoto, and the original version was better.
Yeah, Masaharu Morimoto or whatever.
Masaharu.
Yeah, I could put my wife on the microphone because she's better with the food stuff than I am. I don't eat fancy stuff at all.
Okay, well, think fine dining.
Once again, can't do that because I'm not a fine dining person.
All right,
I wish I was. What?
All right, fine. You know what? Shut up. Put your wife on the mic. Let me talk to her.
Oh, God. They want to talk to you.
What?
They want to talk to you. They want to know. Hold on. Let me get the headphones on her. So dead.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mrs. Wojcik? Who's it?
Wojcik, yes.
Yeah, that's it. Wojcik. The question for Alan was, what's your favorite fine dining meal? And he's got no clue. But what about you, dear?
Oh. Depending. What style, what kind of... It's really typical Italian. Italian, Japanese, Chinese...
Just pick
Hungarian.
A Hungarian? Well,
Hungarian.
That could be fancy, sure. And, well, that's fantastic.
Oh, it could be absolutely fancy. Have you ever had goulash?
That depends on what you consider goulash. I think I've made a few different versions of it.
Well, the Hungarian goulash is just one of my favorite dishes. I love making that one.
Oh,
chicken
cool.
Chicken paprikash does not count as fine dining, by the way.
Oh, yes, it is. Down here it is, actually. We only have one freaking restaurant that serves that crap.
Oh, wait a minute. You're in Florida. Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah. We're in Florida, definitely, and no people. Yeah, we're in the small town.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so there's, like, no Canadian restaurants where you go in and you order the chocolate mousse and you get this chocolate mousse carving carted to your table.
No.
That's I can't remember. That was from a silly movie. I think it was Gremlins 2 or something. But anyway, yeah. Thank you for answering Alan's second question.
No problem.
You're more than welcome to come and brighten up this show any night of the week, as long as it's a Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'm up.
Okay.
I have no choice. My husband, you know, he talks to his damn loud half the time, so I don't get any sleep.
Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. Okay, it was great to talk to you, Mrs. Would you kiss me?
Okay.
Great, thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.
We like titties around here, as long as they belong to Natty Neidhart.
Okay, now, you know, Alan's trying to talk, and nobody can hear him because, you know, Spug's talking over him. Alan, what were you saying?
I think she helped me commit Khmer radio suicide. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, Alan, I just got to say one thing. Your wife sounds like mega hot, man.
My wife is mega hot. Are you kidding me? Why else would I marry her?
Okay, well, you know what? You've just committed career suicide. Your wife is taking your place from now on.
All right, I'm fired. You're on WTR from now on, honey. Cool. Yeah, she knows as much about wrestling as Nick Anthony does. Move on to the other people on the show.
Alan, no, that's perfectly fine. She doesn't need to know anything about wrestling. She just sounds hot, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
Okay, who's next? Omega.
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite Saturday Night Live-based movie?
God, let me try to remember a good one.
I broke the window again. Swing.
Yeah, yeah. It probably is Wayne's World.
Yeah, let us consume six packs and fried eggs.
Yeah, well, Conan is okay. I'm still a bigger fan of Wayne's World. And, I don't know. A lot of the Saturday Night Live movies just don't pan out very well for me.
Okay, but you do say the Wayne's World movies then?
Yeah.
I gotta think that those have to be the most commercially successful. Really? And
yeah.
I'd have to say that those would be my picks. Those are really the only SNL movies that I really, really, really like. I mean, Night at the Roxbury's are right, but it's not. It, you know, it ain't no Wayne's World. Bitchin'. So who's next? Let's see. Spug.
Yes.
If you were a hockey goaltender, what would you have painted on your mask?
A giant Karn the Betrayer. And on the little wobbly protector for my throat, I would have Blood for the Blood God written.
I could just see that, too. Blood for the Blood God.
Actually, I might have that somewhere on the front of the mask.
So you are a geek at heart.
Definitely. Maybe a giant demon maw covering the metal mesh, like right before it turns into the metal.
Oh, yeah.
Be awesome.
What about on that little part that's on the back of the skull that's connected by the by those big stretchy bands like Fuck Nav or something like that?
No, I'd have a big giant Karn the Betrayer with a big battle axe.
No, I'm not talking about like on the main part of the mask. I'm talking about that little piece on the back of the skull.
Oh, the spinal protector?
No, the back of the head.
Are you talking about the little white piece on the back that hangs down to protect the base of the spine, or are you talking about the little white piece that protects the back of the neck, just where it says, like, Riddell or whatever it is on the back of the helmet?
No, forget it. I'll explain it to you off here later on. Don't worry about it. Everybody's been asked their quick hits questions, haven't they? Wow.
Mace hasn't gotten question number two.
Yeah, he did. Mace's question number two was the Women's Wrestling Federation, and you went gaga over Zombie Hot.
She is hot.
I didn't say she wasn't. And
fuck her.
I'm just convinced that both you and Mace would do anything to get into her skirt.
Oh, dude. I would do so many things.
You ignorant sluts.
Quite possibly.
So there you go. All right, it's time to wrap the hell up. Last words, last thoughts, Omega.
I've got to go treat a concussion right after the show. I think it's pretty much been said.
A concussion? Who's got a concussion? I don't have a concussion. Mace, final thoughts.
I'm going to agree with Tony O in the chat room, and if I was to create a goalie mask, it would have a picture of Natty's cleavage on it.
All right, you're both going to get supreme shit in just a second. Spug, last thoughts.
Get it, Rice Mace. It's Natty's titties all over the goalie mask. Big old Natty's titties.
Okay, that is enough. All right, now, Spug, just one sentence for you.
Tim was right. 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 Tim was right.
So shut the fuck up and fuck you.
About liking Natty's titties.
Alan.
I want to thank WTR for helping me commit career suicide tonight, and I loved every minute of it.
Okay, there you go. I just want everybody in the chat room right now to type in, even though it is like, 1:30 in the morning Eastern time, and it's technically Monday now on the East Coast. When the show started, it was still Sunday, and it was Sir Rockin's birthday. Everybody in the chat room type in happy birthday to Rock. Everybody here, shout out a great big old happy birthday, Rock and Sock.
Happy birthday to the Rock.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Producer. Now get to work.
My twin sister called in and wished him happy birthday.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that we should hear that audio clip.
Absolutely. She's a big fan of his.
You're not going to play it, are you? Are you Spug? Or Mace? Or Rock?
Who's got the concussion again?
Yeah, apparently I do. I don't think Rock's going to play it. So here, listen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Rockin' Song. Happy birthday to you. Hey there, Rockin' Song. This is Spuggle and Monroe wishing you a very happy birthday.
What the fuck was that?
I told you, it's my twin sister, dude. She's a big fan of his.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Okay, that's it. I'm done with this goddamn show for tonight. Good night, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Don't forget, Tuesday, something might be on the radio. You never know. It's looking kind of doubtful for this week, though. Wednesday, OTL returns. And then something's going on Thursday, unless she works too late. We're talking about anything goes, in which case it might be rescheduled for late Friday. Just pay attention to the website. You'll find out. And, of course, Saturday night, CB Radio returns once again, going where only CB Radio can go, which is any which way but loose, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, we'll catch you next Sunday night, everybody. Regular time, regular place. Have yourselves a great week, and we'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
As usual, fuck Mav, buy a t-shirt.
Thanks, assholes.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.